Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Today's text is found in verses 19 and 20. And when you're there, you can say amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19, it reads, "The Lord by his wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew." Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19 and 20 says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding he hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew." I just simply want to talk to you today about what wisdom produces. What wisdom produces. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord God, that you have gathered us together for this time, for this moment, in this season, Father, to speak to us according to your word right now. And we pray, Lord God, that we forget all that is behind us, Father God. Anything that has happened this morning, anything that has happened yesterday, anything that may have been weighing on our minds right now, and that you would empty us right now so that you would fill us up with your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. Open our eyes and our hearts and our ears, Father God, to prepare us for what you have for us in your word, in the name of Jesus. Father, I humble myself to nothingness, that you would be everything in me, and that your word would go forth and perform that which you have purposed it to perform, and that it would not return back void. Father, we bless you, we honor you, we glorify you, and we praise you. In Jesus' precious holy name, we say amen, amen, and amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew." Last week, we discussed the subject from prudence to prosperity. And we also followed that up on Thursday, and the discussion was regarding the priority of wisdom in our lives. Before we can concern ourselves with things that are tangible, before we can concern ourselves with worldly goods, worldly concerns, worldly wealth, the principal thing, the Bible says, is wisdom. Get wisdom, get understanding, for wisdom is the principal thing. And in all you're getting, get understanding. And we talked about how instead of seeking riches and long life, Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom to lead his people. And it was a humble request because, number one, it acknowledges that he didn't know anything about leading a nation and he was too young to do it. And so what we understood in last week's teachings were that wisdom is the prerequisite for provision. Wisdom is the prerequisite for prosperity. Without wisdom, we will not be able to receive the knowledge, the skills, the abilities, the resources, and the understanding necessary in order to produce the things that we think we desire. But I want to take it a little deeper because I need you to understand the depth of what God's wisdom can do. Because sometimes we may tend to discount the value of wisdom because we limit it to certain categories. We may limit God's wisdom to certain categories, thinking that God's wisdom simply is the technical knowledge of the Bible, knowing what the Bible says, maybe having a good understanding of biblical doctrine or Christianity, understanding the gospel, understanding evangelism. And so we put wisdom in a box to say that this is all the wisdom of God is, and anything else outside of this I need to figure out on my own. But I want to give you an understanding of how of the scope of God's wisdom, where honestly there is no scope at all because God's wisdom is infinite. So the first thing we need to understand is that wisdom, the wisdom of God, comes from the Spirit of God. We talked about that on Thursday in Bible study for those of you who were here. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we see one example of how wisdom produces something. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, it reads, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect," that means mature, "yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." So there are two types of wisdom: the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of the world, we learned, is concerned with the here and now. The wisdom of God is forward thinking. The wisdom of God is bigger than you. The wisdom of God looks globally, not just on individual circumstances like we in our worldly wisdom does. We look at things from a limited perspective. But as even earlier on in 1 Corinthians 2, it says in verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Demonstration in the Greek is apodixis, which means making manifest, showing forth. It means proof. It means proof by the Spirit and power of God. It means operating and stirring in the minds of the hearers. So wisdom demonstrates something. Wisdom produces something. So it's not, wisdom is not just an internal knowledge, but it is wisdom that gives and produces the ability to bring forth something. Wisdom comes from the Spirit of God. If you read further in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The Spirit searcheth all things. And so if the Spirit searcheth all things, and all of these things are revealed to us by his Spirit, so that means that wisdom cannot be put in a box. Wisdom cannot be limited to just religious things, but I need to depend on myself to learn about other things. You see, wisdom, the Spirit of God searcheth all things. And if the Spirit searcheth all things, and all things are revealed to us, then that means that anything that is revealed to us by the Spirit is able to demonstrate in the power of God. It is able to produce something. Whatever it is, whatever it needs to produce, it's able to be produced in us because the Spirit of God is in us. Let me give you an example of that in Exodus chapter 35. In Exodus chapter 35, Moses calls the people together, and God tells Moses to speak to the children of Israel and tell every one of them, "Any one of you who has a willing heart, come and bring an offering to the Lord," particularly offerings of gold and of spices and of oils and of skins. And so he begins to tell them, "Any one of you that has a desire to contribute to the priestly ministry and the building of the tabernacle, if you're moved and stirred in your heart to do it, then bring an offering." And so Moses does this. in the Bible says that men and women were bringing gold and incense and onyx and different stones and precious stones, and they were bringing fabric material in order to sew the material for the tabernacle, and they were bringing of their own accord, of their own will, of their own desire. They had a desire to contribute to the tabernacle. As a matter of fact, in verse 21, it says in Exodus 35, verse 21, and they came, everyone whose heart was stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And it goes on to describe all of the things that were offered toward the construction of the tabernacle. Now, go to verse 30. Verse 30 says, and Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in the carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Amishak, in the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and in fine linen of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. How many have ever thought that you need to be filled with the Spirit to build something? No, nobody thinks to that degree. I want to sew a jacket. I don't need to be filled with the Spirit to do that. Well, who says? I don't need my construction worker to be filled with the Spirit. I just need somebody to build me a kitchen. But the Bible says here that he was filled with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding in all manner of workmanship. So in order to build the tabernacle, God needed men that were filled with the Spirit of God in wisdom. Why? Because the Spirit of God produces the wisdom necessary to provide these men with the skills and abilities to build his tabernacle. Well, yeah, Pastor, of course he needed them to be Spirit of the God because it was going to be his tabernacle. It was going to be for his church. But what about things that don't have to do with church? What about things that don't have to do with the Lord? Well, there's nothing that doesn't have to do with the Lord. There's nothing in this world that you can do as a child, man, or woman of God. If you are a child of God, everything you do has to do with the Lord. And if everything you do has to do with the Lord, then everything you do has to be driven and infused by the wisdom of God. Every decision you make, every endeavor that you make, everything that you pursue has to be infused by the wisdom of God. Because once you have the wisdom of God, everything that you need to build it, everything that you need to calculate it, everything that you need to construct it, everything that you need to embroider it, to sew it, whatever you need to do for whatever you endeavor to do, because you are a child of God, it needs to be for God. Therefore, it needs to be infused by the wisdom of God. So wisdom, we need to quit putting wisdom in a box and thinking that the wisdom of God is only limited to a doctrinal understanding, that it's only scratching the surface of what the wisdom of God can produce in you. Of course we need to know the Gospels. Of course we need to know the doctrine of God. Of course we need to know evangelism. Of course we need to know the gifts of the Spirit. Of course we need to know all of the things that come with the doctrine of the Spirit. But in everyday life, there are things that we encounter that we need to know how to do, know how to think, know how to understand, and it still requires the wisdom of God. Watch this. From last week's text, go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. After Solomon asks for wisdom to lead his people, and God says, I'm going to give you what you asked for, and I'm also going to give you what you didn't ask for, riches and long life. He awakes from his dream. And in verse 16, the Bible gives a specific example of God's wisdom. And this is the story of the two women that came to him, and they both had children. One of the women's children died during the night. And so the woman whose child died, she took her dead baby, and while the other woman was asleep, traded babies and gave the woman with the living baby the dead baby and took the living baby for herself. And so they go to Solomon, and they're saying, no, I'm the mother of the live baby. And the other one says, no, I'm the mother of the live baby. And they're going back and forth. And Solomon says, okay, so I understand what's going on here. Both of you had living children. One of the children died. And so the other traded the children. And y'all are now fighting over which one is the true child. He says, I've got your solution right here. I've got it. This is going to solve the problem. He says, hand me a sword. And hand him a sword. He says, okay, we're going to cut the baby in half and both of you get the baby. Now, of course, he wasn't going to cut the baby in half. He wanted to gauge the reaction of the mothers. One of the mothers said, okay, good, that works for me. No big deal. The other one says, no, I would rather her have my child than see the child harmed. And Solomon's judgment says, this is the true mother, because a true mother will not have her child harmed and would rather give it up than see it dead. And so this was an example of Solomon's judgment, of Solomon's discernment, of Solomon's wisdom, right? And so that's just one example. But then it goes on to say in chapter 4, verses 29 through 34 of 1 Kings, it says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chakol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. And he spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which he heard of his wisdom. And so not only was Solomon endued with great wisdom to hear cases and to make judgment, but he was filled with scientific knowledge, right? It says he spake of trees and of the cedar of Lebanon. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things. And so he was filled with wisdom in science as well. But the Bible clearly says that God gave him this wisdom. And so just because you are textually educated, you know about biology and you know about geology and you know about whatever scientific understanding we have of something, doesn't mean that wisdom doesn't come from God. What's beautiful about it is that many of us have, even people in the world, non-Christians, have scientific knowledge. The beautiful thing about Christians with this knowledge is because we are able to incorporate that same knowledge with the understanding of God's hand in it. Right? Because non-Christians that know about science simply know about science. But Christians who know about science know that by the wisdom of God, and they are able to speak to God's hand in the world. God's wisdom is not limited. God's wisdom is not in a box. So God's wisdom can teach you how to build and construct, and God's wisdom can teach you science and understanding. You see how far God's wisdom can go? Now, let's go to our text in Proverbs chapter 3. How many want wisdom yet? Proverbs chapter 3. Now look at verse 13, just a few verses prior to our text. Proverbs 3 and 13 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." Merchandise in the Hebrew is chakar, which means gain. It means profit. It means what is gained after all expenses are paid. So what he's saying is, after everything's said and done, wisdom is the profit that's gained from wisdom is a lot more than the profit of money alone. So if we were just simply working with money, and we had money, and after we got our money, we paid our expenses, we looked at the money we had left, wisdom, the leftovers from wisdom are a lot more than what's left of money. Because why? What did we say last week? Wisdom is lasting. You see, when you get money, you probably have the money spent before it's even in your hand. But when you have wisdom, wisdom is still there once all the money is gone. Wisdom is still there once all the bills are paid. Wisdom is still there once all the money is spent. Wisdom is still there when the value of your car has depreciated off the lot. Wisdom is still there once you paid the down payment of the mortgage on your big house. Wisdom is still there once you got laid off from your big job. Wisdom is going to transition you from one place to the next. Wisdom is going to transition you from one issue to the next issue. Wisdom is going to take you from your mountain through your valley to the next mountain. Wisdom is still there when everything else is crumbled. Wisdom is more valuable than anything you can have in your hands. He says it's more precious. In verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Whatever you can think of, whatever you've ever desired in your heart, church, and I'm sure we have all desired something. We've all wished for something. We've all wanted something. We've all imagined something that is even beyond our reach. But wisdom is not beyond our reach. And wisdom is more precious and more valuable than anything, the object of your desire. There is no amount of money that is within or beyond your reach that is not, that can outweigh wisdom. Why? Because in verse 16, it says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. You see, we've been too busy seeking riches and honor on its own merit. We've been too busy seeking long life on its own merit. How can I make myself younger? How can I extend my life? How can I be more healthy? And those are all fine things to want. But if you're seeking those things on their own merit, then it's useless. It's pointless. Even Solomon says later in Ecclesiastes, it's vanity. It's a chasing after the wind. But when you seek the wisdom of God has all of those things. The wisdom of God holds all of those choice benefits in its hands. You don't have to be busy seeking those things on its own. Seek wisdom, and all of those choice benefits will be produced in them. Why? Because when you gain wisdom, you gain desire. Watch this order. When you gain wisdom, you gain desire and willingness. That's what happened in Exodus. They were invited to contribute to the temple, and they all had a desire to give to the temple. When you seek wisdom, you obtain desire and willingness. And not only that, once you obtain desire and willingness, you obtain resources and ability. You see, once they had the desire and willingness, they gave of their resources and their skills and ability. And then you obtain actions and outcome. You see, seeking wisdom is not just like seeking a pie in the sky. Lord, I need drop it here right now because I don't have much time left. Yeah, the Lord's going to provide grace in some circumstances like that. But wisdom is going to produce in you the actionable results necessary to achieve the desires of your heart. In James chapter 1, go with me there. James chapter 1, and we read this last week, but watch this. This is powerful because we understand that length of days, riches, and honor are in the hands of wisdom. So that means if you don't have wisdom, you don't have true length of days, you don't have true wealth, and you don't have true honor. You might have temporary wealth and honor. You might have worldly wealth or honor, but you don't have true wealth or honor that comes from God. Watch this. In James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, watch here. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Okay, so now if we're asking of God wisdom, we need to do it in faith. Lord, we need to pray a prayer of faith in order to obtain wisdom. He hasn't stopped talking about wisdom in verse 6. He's still talking about wisdom. That means our prayer for wisdom needs to be prayed for in faith, expecting to receive wisdom. Now, he says, if we are wavering in our prayer for wisdom, or if we are doubtful in our prayer for wisdom, then we're like a wave driven in the sea and tossed. And so if we are not praying for wisdom in faith, verse 7 says, we shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because anything is found in wisdom. Everything is found in wisdom. So if you can't effectively pray for wisdom, then you shouldn't expect to receive anything else that comes from it, because wisdom has in its hands long life. Wisdom has in its hands riches and honor. And so if you can't get wisdom, then you can't get anything. Because with wisdom comes the ability to produce good things. Go back to the text, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 16 says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Now here's the text. The Lord, now we're being told to seek wisdom, right? We understand that now. You want wisdom? I hope you do, because I do too. So if you are, if we're being told to get wisdom, if we're being told to pursue wisdom, we're being told to find wisdom. Look at how powerful wisdom is. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. You want to limit wisdom to simply knowledge of scripture? That's what we need. Yes, we need knowledge of scripture. Don't get me wrong. I am not minimizing that. I'm actually trying to expand it. Wisdom is a whole lot bigger than you think it is, because the same wisdom God wants you to find is the same wisdom that laid the foundations of the earth. The same wisdom that God wants you to find is the same wisdom that said, let there be light. The same wisdom that God wants you to find is the same wisdom that said, let there be a firmament. Let there be a sun and a moon dividing the day and night. Let there be stars and fowls of the air. Let there be creeping things on the land. Let the water stop here. The same wisdom that produced the earth in the first 6 days is the same wisdom that he wants to give you to make you happy. What kind of wisdom can the world provide such as that? And if God can give you the same wisdom that produced the earth, then why can't he give you the wisdom to start a business? Why can't he give you the wisdom to get a new job? Why can't he give you the wisdom to get out of debt? Why can't he give you the wisdom to increase your income? If God can give you the wisdom to build and create the earth, then why can't he give you the wisdom for these temporal things that we need in day-to-day life? Wisdom is a whole lot bigger than you think it is. And you need, everything you do needs to start with wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 9, we learn that wisdom comes from relationship. You see, earlier on in Proverbs, he says that wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. So everything in this, everything that we can seek or pursue or gain in this life begins with wisdom. But where does wisdom start? In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Fear in Hebrew is yirah, which means fear, terror. It means respect. It means reverence. It means piety. So, in order to gain wisdom, we need to fear the Lord. You want to gain wisdom? It comes from your relationship with the Father. You want to obtain wisdom? It comes from your pursuit, your reverent pursuit of God. And in your reverent pursuit of God, you will obtain godly wisdom. And in obtaining godly wisdom, you'll receive the desires and willingness that you need for whether the overall kingdom of God and those specific things that are in your heart to pursue. Lord, I want to start a business. Or Lord, I want to grow in my company. Or Lord, I need to transition from one job to another. Lord, I need a better understanding of my finances. Whatever the global need for wisdom and the specific need for wisdom in your life, the Lord will give you desire and willingness, resources and ability, actions and outcomes, so that in your pursuit of wisdom, you will learn what it takes to obtain long life, wealth, and honor. You don't get those things by pursuing them on their own. You get those things by pursuing their source. And that source is the infinite wisdom of God that comes from the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you infuse us with your wisdom. The wisdom that founded the earth. I pray, Lord God, that you pour into us of your knowledge and understanding, the knowledge and understanding that has created the sky and everything in between. And I pray, Lord God, that we take the wisdom that you give us and that we use it for the whole of our walk in our day-to-day living, but that you also give us the wisdom that we need to apply to specific need and circumstances in our lives. Oh, Lord God, continue to help us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God so that we could be wise men and women that you have called us to be in the name of Jesus. Let our pursuit for you begin with wisdom in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we give you the glory, honor, and praise that is due your name. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. We say amen, amen, and amen.